just before if we should keep the spiral configuration or somehow consolidate the serpent. Possibly. Just that you're aware that it will. Maybe you know that you're going to the space. Let's see if there are more people coming. I just would like to introduce Professor Klaus Fessmann from Mozarteum, Salzburg. The Mozarteum is one of the foremost music universities in the world, and I think maybe Klaus himself, he will talk, mention a little bit of his biography. I would just like to tell a little bit of an anecdote how we met. I had been on a conference in Salzburg maybe 4 years ago, and when I went to the Institute of Music Education, Music and Dance Education, somebody made me aware. I talked about the music of the Stones and that we were experimenting with things, and then people said I should meet Professor Fessmann. I got the phone number, and we had a brief phone call, but at that time it was not possible that we met. A few months later, I walked in Mary Davis, director of a foundation who was visiting Auroville. And again, that came up, we talked about Stones and music and matter and sound and resonance. And that person said, oh, but you should meet Professor Fessmann. And I said, well, I tried it actually a few months ago and it didn't work out. And she said, no problem. And she pulled out her cell phone and called to Germany. And a few days later, actually, this son of Klaus was here in Auroville. There was this youth conference. And from then on, actually, I think Klaus is here the third time in all of it.
Yes.
So for me, it was actually very interesting, that meeting point. And we realized in our first meeting that we know many people in common in the field of music and sound research. And it's a delight for me that actually Klaus is here today with us to share about musical approach to knowledge. I mean, there are many, I say, in the last few days we've been in Kalakshetra Academy of Music and Dance and the University of Mozarteum, they work on a collaboration with India. They are interested, and Klaus is the representative for that. There are lots of different subjects we are touching, and because Klaus is a book author, he was writing a few books on schools for rhythm education based on just on Stones, and he was working with the music of the Stones the last 15 years, and there are many different projects going on, so I'm curious actually what Klaus will share with us today.
Thank you very much for being here and speaking about my thinking. And when I begin with the first we did, Aurelius just said, let's be silent, let's hear for the silence. But there is no silence in the world, you know. I always say to my students when they say, we want to compose silence, I say, you can compose silence when you lie 2 meters under the ground. There perhaps is silence after the ear has stopped hearing. And you know, the ear is the last sense which stops in the life. You know, when the heart is stopped beating, there will have some minutes for, or it can now, as we know, about nearly 20, 30 minutes, and then the ear stops living. You hear it when you, as in a medicine way, you don't live anymore because your heart isn't beating, then you can also hear, and the consciousness is going on by hearing what's going on in this way. That's also very necessary to be very careful when someone dies.
To say something wrong.
Yes. So it's very, very, you have to be very, very careful in this, because we just now know that there's consciousness in this way. Because, you know, I just heard when there was silence in the room between us, I just heard what's going wrong. And you hear many things going on in this room. As a composer and as a musician, it's not normal to speak about music, because we do music. I don't go on stage and say how my music is tuning and how my music is sounding. It sounds. And I know what I always call the musical thinking. I also know what I call the thinking of the language, thinking of speaking. I know it too. I know also the thinking of smelling. Because my friend in Turkey, a musician, it's Oruç Güvenç, one of the great Sufi shamans, he just said to me, the sound you just played had been a little sharp. I thought, what sharp? Yes, it smells sharp. And I thought, what do you mean it's smelling sharp? And he said, you can't smell the sharpness of the sound? I said, not yet. Perhaps after the tour. And we made a tour through Turkey from Istanbul to Cappadocia. We played on the mountains of Cappadocia, one very fantastic countryside there. And I learned much about smelling the music. And my Japanese students, they always think about when they try to explain me what they think in their composition or in their musical way, they always say, it's like a weather. They say, you know, the symphony is too wet. It's raining in the second sentence. Then it's too dry in the third. And I always, I learned much about my from music with my students when I worked with them. I learned a lot because I didn't think about weather when I heard Mozart. I know the Sixth Symphony of Beethoven. Yes, there's the rain and there's the thunder and all these things. Yes, but that's a symphony. And he just told that you have to hear it in this way, and that he thought that the musical thinking is his expression of this nature things. But to feel that the music is wet or the music is dry, it's very interesting. What can you learn about this? You can learn about this that if you speak about music, you always compare it with something else. The music, if you speak about it with the language, it has no expression by himself. When you hear music, you can't say music is. He always says music is like. It's like the rain, it's like a feeling, like a thinking, and so on. We have informally, in my expression in German language, we have no exact expression to say, no words about, which exactly say music is. And in this way, when I teach composition and I teach music, I teach it by teaching the different senses. And I teach it by learning to think as a musician and not to translate it in language. That's one of the fundamental thinkings I'm working on. What's that? It's complicated to explain, because I only can explain you at the moment with my words. Normally I would have a stone here and I play, and perhaps you hear what I'm thinking. You know, when I speak now, I can the first layer I do that I speak these words you hear. The second layer, at the same time, I think of what I will speak after the sentence I speak. I'm looking forward what I'm speaking. And in this way, what I'm looking forward in the second layer, I just remind what I have spoken before. that's perhaps something like a different second layer or the third layer, perhaps the third layer. As a musician, I can think 8 layers at the same time. It's the only way of thinking you can do. I can explain it in an example where I think you can understand what it is. I'm a pianist. I play piano since the fourth year of my life. I begin very soon. My mother had bought a piano, and the piano stood there, and I always went on the piano and looked, and after half a year my parents said, I think it would be very good to give him a teacher. And I went to a teacher, and I learned what's going on when I'm touching with my hands and with the fingers and the top of the fingers, for example. I'm touching these sounds, and I feel these sounds always in the top of it. I played piano since now. I'm now 56 years old, so I play piano, and I think that the piano has developed my thinking. I also know, I have also read at the same time many books. I begin early to read books. Before school I read the first books and so on. I always read books, and I also studied German literature. And I come from a countryside where I think the main German writers come from, Friedrich Hölderlin, for example, or Herder, or Hegel, and so on, and Schiller is not far away, and so on. And my hometown, I'm living there, was Friedrich Hölderlin, and it's one of the greatest poems in the world. Yeah? You know, I love it very much because he's a musical poet. He just composed his poems after musical terms. Perhaps I can explain you, because you hear it and you happen to understand it. Yeah. It's at one example. Da ich ein Knabe war, rettet ein Gott mich oft vom Geschrei und der Rute der Menschen. Als ich ein Knabe war, it's only the E, rettet ein Gott mich oft. It's just going down. Vom Geschrei und der Rute der Menschen. That is the end. He only took the vocals, and around the vocals he put the consonants. And sometimes it's like this, that you see and you can read words, which if you combine it, there's no real sense in it. In his later poems, in his second. But if you think it as a musician, you feel the sense coming from the structure of the vocals. And I couldn't study, but I spoke to an English colleague who just told me that Shakespeare did it in the same way. He also took the consonants, the vocals, and put the consonants around. And then some place where you can't understand what are the real sense in it, you have to go back a little and only hear which kind of sound is coming on from this combination of words. Also, I couldn't study it in the way. I just tell you, perhaps you have time to study it exactly, yeah, as me. They told that the number of the consonants between the vocals are just built of the Fibonacci row. Of the one of the golden cut, you know, Fibonacci row is famous. But I can't. So that's only what I heard. I couldn't explore it in this way. Okay.
Klaus, can you? I'm sorry. You said that example of 8 layers of thinking.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
You know, when I play piano, it's just too normal to play piano with the two hands at the same time. That's very good for the head, because the brain is going in the same way. And I began to play, as normal, you play Mozart, you play the classical things, and I just grew up in this way, to play Mozart, to play Bach, to play Beethoven later on, and to play Schubert, Chopin, and so on. The music with the highest form of structure and the highest form of combination is really Johann Sebastian Bach. It's not normal. You know, Bach has been a composer which in this time nobody would understood it. Nobody could understand what's going on in this way. He just said, I write music for the human emotion and in the service for God. He just composed his work in a way that the whole universe and the whole world is just finding in each composition its symbol. And I began to play the inventions, it's called, it's a schoolwork form of Johann Sebastian Bach, and you have to learn imitation. You have to learn imitation, what's going on the right hand, what's going on the left hand, exactly. Tuck, 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 between. You just learn tuck, 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 tuck. In the same way, you have to hear what you're doing on the right, and you have to hear what's doing on the left. And you have to do it in the same way. Yeah? But it doesn't work in the same way, you know? That's a little, it's just one octave higher, and that's just one octave lower. It sounds different. There are different colors, there are different overtones, but you have to try to find a combination in this imitation between two persons. The person with the higher voice and the person with the lower voice. In the same book of Bach, after the two voices, there come the three voices. You have two hands now. But you have to combine it. Yeah? You have to look that there's one voice, one layer in the left, one in the right, and the third layer between the two hands. Okay, that have been the inventions. He had a very nice system. You know, as Aurelio just told me yesterday also about seeing and hearing, and we spoke yesterday evening about these things. It wasn't possible for the pupils at that time to go to a store and to buy their scores or the notes. It was too expensive, it wasn't possible. After the lesson, Bach gave him his notes, and they had to sit down and write and copy it and go home, and they had, as a piano player, they had to play this piece and to compose a piece in the same way. You know, yeah, that's real, that's composing, that's musical thinking. To look in the score, he didn't explain them what's going on. He didn't explain different other things. Yes. But in this way, he said, if you copy notes, you just can find out by writing, only by writing, by seeing what's going on with the hand, with the note, how it works, and what's in the composition. And if you did understand it, then you can copy it in the same way. Copying is one of the main things in composition teaching. When I studied composition, I had to copy things. I wrote a symphony as Beethoven did it. I wrote songs with Debussy and string quartets like Anton Webern and normally fugues. Yeah, fugues and motets are the normal things. You have to each week in the studies you have to give your teacher a fugue or a motet. A motet in the way as Palestrina did it in the 16th century, and a fugue just Johann Sebastian Bach. And it's normal. I wrote a fugue in 4 hours. A fugue for the three voices, four voices, 4 hours. And if you did your examination, they gave you six themes, you came in a room with a piano, and in 5 hours you have to write a fugue. That's normal. That's no art, you know. That's just craft, yes. It's normal. Okay. Now we had these three layers in the inventions. Yeah? Now you come to the next. You come to the well-temperated piano. This is great work of Johann Sebastian Bach. And there are fugues with four voices. You have to play two voices with the left hand and two voices with the right hand. But not the normal. Of course, you have also work in this way. Yes? You have to look, you have to combine it in this way. Huh? You can only divide. You can't divide. You can't think, I think here two voices, I think here two voices. Yeah? You have to look after all the four voices, which are going on in this way, which are combining, which are crossing in this way. And you have to follow the four voices. Because in the way, when the theme is going through one voice, there are perhaps two counterpoints in the other, and each counterpoint is another function, and you have to think these counterpoints in the same way. And in this way, you can't think as a human being who is speaking. The words don't work at all. You have to look for it, what's going on. You have to feel. You have to look for your senses. For all these senses, to look which tension is between the notes, which you have to look in this way, yeah, where are the chords and this thing, and you have to look in this way, in the horizontal way, to look where the melodies are going on. And this is the combination. And you have Bach fugues with six voices. Not 3-3, but all in the same way. And you have to while you are playing, you have to look for six voices going in a way which you understand and your audience understands. The audience, that's another theme. That's your theme here in India. In India, I found a fantastic thinking about the audience. I have a lot of books at home for it, and I always read to my students. I always say, when you play for an audience, you have to work in this and this way. But the audience also has many tasks to do, and this we haven't in Germany. Yeah? We haven't it. We haven't it in Austria. Mozart just came out and said, I'm the greatest man, I work, play, and you feel it, okay? Okay, that was Mozart. Huh? And he lived this way of life, he lived it. Yeah? He hasn't been the greatest developer of music, but the greatest genius. But that's another thing. You know, we have six voices perhaps going on, and there is one tale of Mozart. He has been in Florence, he just when he has been four or five, he had made his first journey to Italy and played piano, and he came to a church, and there they sang a motet with eight voices, and they hadn't a score. Yeah, they only knew it by heart, and they always the tradition gave it further. And he sat there, and he went to his room and took the notes, and just wrote them. And so then he gave it to the choir and said, "Yeah, there are the notes." And they said, "Wow, what's going on? How did you do it?" And he said, "I heard it." Yeah, he heard it. He heard it. And he could understand it, you know? He didn't remind each note, but he could understand what's going on in this thinking between all the different layers and all the notes in these different ways. That's perhaps a little thing, impression about this, what I call musical thinking. I experienced a lot of this in this way with some students of mine. We just tried to not to speak with one another for 3 or 4 months. We only played. We only made music. We tried to develop this thinking so much that we could understand one another without any words. We met each day several hours, we walked, and then we got restaurants, we have had a good eat, but we didn't speak with one.
You converse with music?
Only with music.
Singing.
Singing, or one played clarinet, and the other played flute, and I played the piano, and we walked to the room and played there. Huh? We also walked, and we gave one another the hand, and this way, for example, very, very carefully, and tried to walk, and tried to understand what's in this feeling, because as a musician, you always have your hands. If you're not a singer, you have your hands for doing music. And these hands are well educated and well developed in this way. And we tried to find out what's going on when we got into resonance with these hands, only with these fingers, those eight. We did it, I think, for four or five months in this way. And we also did it for 1 week by trying out what's going on when we could play as long as possible and not to sleep very, very less. And only the one who couldn't be awake just lay down beside and slept. The other played all the time. Yeah? We only wanted to play, we wanted to be on the highest level of musical thinking in our world, and all the body was vibrating, this thing. It was a fantastical thing. I don't know what the other two are now doing. One is an artist, and the other is playing clarinet in an orchestra thing. But we have no contact anymore. But it had been a really fantastic experience, yeah? Only to play music. And as a musician, you are always at a point where you think about to live in a world where you only play, where you don't want to speak, because the language is always a little problematic. Because I have been, while going to school at the end, I've always been a teacher. I tried to develop a language for my students and try to get them in a practice to develop their language to get very near to music. But there's always a limit, you know? You find a border between, and you have to be very, very careful not to destroy. We have in the musical science, we have the colleagues who are analyzing music as they are analyzing nature. They cut all the things, put together in their system, put a number for it, and this, and now they have a lot on the table of different things, the rhythms and the heights and the frequencies and all these things. That's the music. They say, no, that's not music. That's terrible. That gives no consciousness of music, no knowledge about it. Yeah? You have to do it in another way. We come now in this way to the first thing I wanted to say. When we speak about music or think about music, you always find out that people speak about heights of tones, they speak about the intervals and the relationships between. They speak about frequencies. They speak about sound systems, sound like duo, moll, major, minor, and something like this, and so on. And you always find one thing to get this phenomenon music in a thinking which you can understand. They try to find a number for it. The octave is the eighth and the number 2 to 1, coming from the old tones. The fifth, the quint, we call it, it's the 3 to 2, coming from the old tones. You always have a number for it. But no one is looking what's after the number. It's only the number. The number's okay. And you have books, you have a lot of books at home, several books and this, which are filled with numbers. And I look on it, and I don't find any music in it. It's no understanding. Because the height of the tone is only one layer of this, what is the much more, it's the color. the color of the of the sound of the tone is not a thing which is just given to the height. It's more, and the height is one little thing in this color of the sound. And that's a very different thinking. Schoenberg just explained it in his great book in the beginning of the 20th century, and he thought that this should be the new form of music, to play music only as a melody of colors, not as a melody of heights. You know, that's very different. Because the students just come in to me and they say, in which way should I write? Should I take pentatonic, or should I take the 12 tone row, or what should I do? Or very different rows, or the frequency this way, and so on and so on. There's many mathematic systems which you can use. I said, no, what do you want? Yeah, I want to do music. Okay, what's music? And then we come to this phenomenon. They said, that what you are feeling in the first way is not this little height, which is a number. It's the sound come, whoa. This, which it's just one little thing. This coming into the sound, staying on it, yes? Developing, and then we're going out again. That's the main thing of the sound. That's this little thing which is a number. It doesn't mind at all. And that's also the relationship between language and music. I always say, language is just in this way, as the color is the main thing, and the high is the little thing. The music is the great thing, and the language is the little thing. You know, when I speak now, and I don't think about music, I speak in this way anymore, and I don't change anything now. Yeah? And it's a terrible man. Yeah? So I don't feel anything. Yeah? I always speak music now. I go up and down, I take rhythms, I look for it, that it's in this way, for example. If I want to play, I speak long, slowly, silent, or I speak loud, just speak, do resonance and heights, I take different colors. And this little thing, which is the sense of it, it's only this way. The main thing is the music. And if you look on different forms of language, different forms of speech, and different forms of cultures, you find, especially with the Hopi Indians, you find a language which is very musical, because they don't think about the past, the present, and the future. They have no expression for it, for this division. They have only words who are just describing the long way of time. And these are also kind of languages which are very musical. Okay, that's one of these, for me, these main things I just to speak about. Music as this form, and the beginning form of music. I have only speaking now about first about sound, because music is just the higher form. But I think you can understand when I speak about these things, to speak about this color. And if you look on it when you hear music, please look for it. Please hear, look for it as hearing for it, which what you are hearing. Yeah? And it's not so necessary to think about musical systems as this different form from heights, and a complicated form from intervals and things putting together this way. It's not. These are the numbers, but the numbers aren't the main things in this thinking. And it's, for me, it's also this relationship in language in relation to music.
Can you define the difference for you, what you speak about music, the whole thing, and sound?
Yes. That's one of the next things I just wanted to to speak, we just spoke yesterday, we spoke about seeing and hearing, and you have also thinking and the language we spoke about, one of these things you are working on and you're doing. And in Europe we have this relationship for musicians between seeing and hearing. We say that the music in our culture has started when we had this Pope Gregor, and he just said, please, in the monasteries, write down what you are singing. That had been the beginning of our musical history. We can say these signs which we see, those are the symbols for the sound. And we can work on it that the sound had been in this and this way. Before, we can imagine. We can think that it could be like this or it could be like that. We have to combine it in a different way. And it had been in 600 years after Christ, before Christ's birth. It had been perhaps like this. You know, the history of the music in Europe isn't very old. We have Indian history of music is much more older. Yeah, and they have much more knowledge about it. We don't know how the music of the Greece had sounded. We don't know. We can perhaps imagine by the signs we see, by the pictures we see of the instruments. We know much about the Greece philosophers had thought about music. We know much about it. Very much. And how they thought that the music had to do in the pedagogic and in the ethics and so on. We know much about it, but we don't know how it was sounding.
Has it not being preserved in the folk music?
No. In the folk music is also a very different thing, because normally the folk music isn't written down.
Yes.
It's only a developing. You can't say what's going on. Yes, please.
It's interesting maybe to remember that the Greek language is a tonal language which people don't know how to speak or teach because we don't have that art of speaking. Few people have been able to do it. But actually the language of the Greeks is another dimension.
Another dimension, really.
From our normal way of music.
Yes. And from this beginning, when the Pope Gregor said, write it down, we can say that our developing of the music in Europe and in this area of culture is always a relationship between seeing and hearing. It's always the high developing of the culture is always a developing of different forms of notation. And if you learn music and if you see music, I have music from the Middle Age, for example, or music from the Classic, or music from you see different forms of developing of notation, different forms of thinking. I now can sit in a train and have a score of Wagner's Tannhäuser, for example, and I read it. I have to hear it. I have no earphone and so on. I have no MP3 player and so on. I can read it. And when I read the notes, I see the notes, I see in the score, I see the sounding of the music in my body and in my brain, in all of my personality. I hear it in me. And you know, you too.
So you read it like
Yes, I read it. I read it like a book. I sit there and read it. I read it just in time. Yeah? I just go on through and that's the relationship for the musical culture in Europe. Yeah? And at this moment now, in the last perhaps 10 years, we come to a real big change now. As you know, the Apple computers, they have had a program called GarageBand. And the GarageBand is something like
the end of the music and the thinking I just told. You haven't to have any note or score. You have only modules which you can combine in a different way. And you have to, you can hear it very exactly, but you haven't to think about how this, what you are feeling as a musician, as a composer, which sign you put on the score of after what you heard in yourself. Because there's a computer and it gives you sounds, and the sounds haven't to have too much to do with this real fantastic relationship. I love this. I love this to sit down and to hear music and to think about how I can have here a pencil and write on it. I always make my own scores, I always make my own notes. I do, for example, musical graphics. That's one of my main things. I'm a specialist for developing of notation. Yeah, you know, in Salzburg I teach these things, and I've made about 700, 800 real great graphics in this way, with glass and mirrors and so on, different materials. Yeah? And we now discuss in the Mozarteum the problem, the real problem, because we know in the last 5-6 years we just recognize that the students can't read as good as they did it 10 years before. If you give them a score, it's much more difficult for them to read it in the same tempo, in the same knowledge as I did before. And if we think it this further, we now think that in 20 years no one can read Mozart anymore. Because you know, the thinking of the younger generation in these countries where the computer and all these things are just normal, just as in, we have in the kindergarten, we also have computer corners now. They come with 2 and 3 years, come there, and the parents say, I only go to this, give my child to this kindergarten when there's a computer corner. And in this computer relationship, yeah, they change all the neurologic systems. And that we now can, after 6-7 years, we now can see really exactly what's going on there. You know, when you combine a note with a color, with a height, with impressions, with rooms and so on, we say that these are the synesthetics. Yeah. And we had, 10 years ago, we had one synesthetic under 20,000 people. In the young generation now, we have one synesthetic under 4 children. The rate has gone. Because the computer is always combining these things. He's combining a color, which he sees, with a sound, with a room, with the development and so on. And if you look at this, you learn this thinking by working all the day with the computer. And that's this is really a dramatic development, because it's gone very, very fast. We couldn't think that 6 years before, we couldn't think that it will go so fast.
You feel it's positive?
No, terrible. Really terrible. Really terrible. Because you know, not we are doing it as a university for arts, but the computer program do it. And that's a manipulation.
Yeah.
Yeah? We are not us. We have to, we come behind, yeah? 10 kilometers behind. Yeah? We have to think about it. And we now have the problems that at the moment we have no student for piano from Austria. We have only students from China and Japan in Salzburg. We have really difficulties, because the children can't read the notes exactly. This relationship between seeing and hearing is just now coming perhaps to an end. And that could be the end of this developing, beginning at the decay of
the Pope Gregor. That's one of these things which we are thinking. We are now thinking about to change the scores of Mozart in the three or four dimensional way, so that the children who are now used to think about in these different layers can read it in further times. And these are really problems. I told Aurelio last year too. We also have these problems, you know, that children have an illness, which is really absolutely fantastic, yeah. But not very funny. Well, they all have now just in the kindergarten they have the handy. Yeah, it's just normal. And when I think 10 years ago, 10 years ago inside with the headphone, the handy headphone, handy.
Telephone,
yes.
Cell phone.
And they know to send SMS, you know. And the SMS are only done with a thumb. If you only use the thumb, the other fingers won't function at some time. And now we have a therapy, because we call it, we have a name in German, it's called Däumling. Däumling is one, a child, yeah. Put it this way, yes? And we, the illness is called Däumling, because they can't move their other fingers, they only can move their thumb. Because the thumb area in the head has been so great that it has been
taken away
the other function of the other fingers. Now they have to learn piano playing, yeah, to make the other fingers function. These are some of the problems we are dealing with it. Yeah, yeah. And the other things, that illnesses in the head and so on, that's another thing. That's not that. Okay, seeing and hearing is one of these main thing, and as you know, and from India I know that many things are, in the traditional way, are only learned by hearing, not by writing, because in the philosophy, as I know, they say hearing is really higher than writing. Writing is something which is solid. Yeah? And you know, music, and I come now to this phenomenon, when music is something which is floating, which is not solid, which is only flowing. You hear music, and after you have heard the music, you have an impression in yourself, you feel the resonance of it, what's going on. But you can't catch it. You can't get it. Yeah? Music is always in the air. And the two basics of music are two things. I always tell the students, if it's getting too complicated with the music, go back to two terms. You have sound and you have time. Sound and developing. Sound like this, in a vertical way, and time in this way. That's one. By all these very difficult and problematic things, and what's music really, what's behind the music, what's going on, and then if you go down and take this one, you can find it on these two things. You have orders in time, and you have orders in sound. You have tones, you have intervals, you have chords, and so on in different forms. And this is then ordered in a way. And the first thing now, when we speak about music, we just say there's a tone. Sound is a little different from this, what we are calling Klang. Yeah? Klang and sound is really hard to explain. And music, these are the three things in this first structure of sound. Yeah? The tone is one of these things. The song, and if you now begin to change and look around, that the tone isn't the height, but the color. You see that the color is always floating. The height with the number is solid. But music isn't solid anymore. If you say, ah, oh, that's music, it's not possible. Just a word. Yeah? Because of this thinking about the higher form is the color, and the lower form is the height, that's very useful for this thinking, yeah? To come in this feeling. And now you have different forms of structure, music, and that's the higher form for the sound, because the sound is just when I'm doing warm, it's just a sound. But when I make warm, dum, body, and something like this, I have to think about, because the combination of the different sounds, that makes the other elements in a new way. The first is combined, the second is combined with the first, but has a relationship that the third, you are just hearing. When I make warm, bum, you say, but he's doing two things perhaps. He's doing warm, the same as the first or the second. But he probably doesn't a different thing. Yeah? If I do it warm, bum, warm, bum, you say, okay, what does he doing now? Because now I change, you know. Yeah? That's the knowledge about music, and the knowledge, just as you have heard music, because you always hear music when you, from the first day of your life, you hear music and you have a consciousness of music, and you're reagating with it. It's not in this way that something happens which is just, which you just don't suspect that I will do. You can hear further of it, what's going on.
Did you say that we are delaying in our hearing?
Yes. Yeah. You know, if you hear around and if you hear this, what I call the music of the earth, the music, not this, that's the music of the industry, but the music of the earth is all what's going on in with the wind, for example, with the elements or with the birth, something like that. You know, the birth language of singing is a fantastic language. I have read a new work of a man, of an ornithologue, who has now made experience about, I think, 20 years. And he recorded all the sounds of it. And he found a high developed language. We hear the birds and we think, oh, it sounds fine. Oh, nice. It isn't fine. It isn't nice. It's just surviving in the nature. Yeah? It's just this. For us, it's an aesthetic phenomenon. We feel something fine. We love it to hear it. Yeah? And we say, this bird, for example, bop, bom, 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 we say that's a cuckoo. But the cuckoo, when he's coming in another nature, for example, when I take a cuckoo here, yeah, he will change his sound. Because with this sound, he can survive here, between all the other birds he is here. Yeah? Each bird change his sound, his sound color, and all the structure, the rhythms combination, just where he is. Because he wants to survive. And now, if you take it for the human beings, it would be very good to make a music where you can survive. With yourself and with the nature. Right. It's one of these things. I always say, when I speak about music, I have five different forms, I think. The first, I don't like it to say that it's the highest form, for example. But after speaking, I can speak in five layers at the same time. I should play it as a musician, yes? Because of this, I have to do it one after the other. One thing as we are doing is the instrumental music. We have built instruments to imitate things. which we hear in nature, which we hear in the circumstances we have. These are instruments, and that's the cause of the instruments. And the development of human beings had always been the development of knowledge, the development of techniques, and so on. For example, the piano, the real piano could only first built in the beginning of the 19th century, because there you had to have had the technique to build. Beethoven, for example, he just played in this way, very hard. And three pianos broke under his playing, broke together. That hadn't been possible after the 20 years of the 19th century, because the pianos are so solid that only the string can break, not the piano. And yeah, strings can break. Yeah, I have a colleague who's a Russian piano player. That's normal. Two strings in each concert. That's normal. He's teacher in Trossingen for piano. He's playing very strong. Yes. Yeah, so. That's one of the things. This instrumental, music instrument, the music which is in our selves, in our body. One music is this, when you feel here, when you get your pulse, and one music, the nearest one, the second one, is the normal music of your breath. Yeah, these are the two normal things, but also the order of yourself in yourself, the order between all the organs and when they are working together and when they are pulsing and so on. Yeah. It's that what the Greeks said, musica humana, I say the human music. The music which is outside of us, I call it musica terra, the music of the earth. That has different forms of chaotic systems. You find it, if you want to find out why the wind is now blowing in this way and you hear it in this and this way, you have to look for the systems of the theory of the catastrophes. There you find the nearest explanation for these combinations, because it's a very complicated system of things going together. The next music, it's this what the Greeks said, it's musica mundana, they called it. We say it's the music of the spheres. It's music, the harmony of the spheres, for example. The thinking comes from this, that the Greeks all put into numbers, and they just measured out what's going on, what they saw with the planets, and they found very logical forms of systems, and they found it again in when they divided the string, and the students of Pythagoras and Aristotle, they always said, he heard it, but he didn't. They didn't say about anything. So Pythagoras didn't say that he heard it, and Aristotle. Now we can hear it. Yes, we can transform it from the energy. We can transform it and can transform it into frequencies for electronic systems. That's possible, because Joachim Ernst Behrendt now speaks about the sounds of the spheres. We have in America, we have these laboratories where you can hear it, where you can find it. Eh? And the other thing is that what I called the music of the gods. And that's all what's going together. I've now divided it in five different forms. But for me, music is always the whole thing. You know, always the instrumental, the earth, the human things, they are always going together. They are always combined with one another. Yeah? And it's always sounds, and sounds organized in orders of time. I say orders of time.
So and you avoid the word rhythm.
Absolutely. Yes. And I want to explain why. When you read it, you read always of the rhythm of the earth and so on. I always say, if you think the rhythm of your pulse it would be very bad for you. You would be in the hospital, because the cough would be like this. Yeah? There's always rhythm is like wom bom bom wom bom. Look, when your heart is beating this way, you are very ill. That's not natural. That's not normal. Because I go back, when I take the rhythm, I go a little, and I said, the metrum is rhythm is always a combination of metren. Metrum. And I, when I go down, the lowest form of what's a construction of time, order of time, is only pulse. And pulse has no hierarchy. If you feel here, you have this one, bum, 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 and each of it is very equal. And you are very healthy if this is very equal. And each of this music, which is around us in the nature, each of these elements has its own pulse, not its own rhythm. If you have, and now we come to a little thinking about future and philosophy for the future. I think, and I've played a long time, I've played, you know, different forms of music and different forms of things. Music is the highest form of cooperation you can have. And only cooperation can serve us in the future. We can only survive if you get a cooperation. If you will stay in concurrence, we won't survive anymore. And look on an orchestra where 100 people are playing together, and each of them is saying, I want to be better as my neighbor. Forget it. Huh? You can't hear it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. It's only by this that you got this, what the psylogues say, the empathy. If you feel this, what the other is feeling, in a musical thinking, not in this thinking of language. This is for me always, the Indians say, that's what I learned, you are very special, sorry. When I hear speak about Indian philosophy, it's very, very difficult for me. But this is what I know, that I say, music isn't lying. Language is always lying. If you go in a concert and you feel there's something wrong, you're going out. Huh? If I go in a piano concert and the pianist begins to play and I have the feeling that it doesn't work, it's not music, it's just another thing, I go out at once. Huh? But when I hear a speech of someone, I stay longer.
And also I, here. Oh no,
I just get used to sit there and close my eyes and hear the sound of the of his language, and then I go out or stay. Ich habe den Faden verloren. Wo war ich denn? Ich wollte was anderes noch sagen.
Über die Soziologie und Kooperation.
Ach so, Kooperation. I think that's one of the main thing. I have written with a musician, which I play together with the Stones, and he's a drummer. We have a lot of problems in Germany with violence of the pupils in schools from the beginning. It's really terrible. You can't. It's another story. It's really another story. Yeah. But it's going very, very strong, because normally we have at a school, at a German elementary school, we have about 18 to 95% immigrations from different countries. And if you come to different schools, there's perhaps one German pupil there anymore. And when you now think that when I teach my students singing and learning German folk songs, and you have a child from Afghanistan, from Vietnam, to Turkish, and so on, and you sing a German folk song, nobody understands it. When you play piano, the whole class is laughing. Because in Vietnam there is no piano. Yeah? And it sounds very, very difficult. And these are very, very big problems. And they cause, one of the reasons is that there's very, very much violence in this thing, and the teachers can't handle it really. And we made programs by making music with it to find out that we found out that we can develop this empathy between the pupils by playing music. And we didn't use normal instruments anymore. First of all, we used only the sound of their language. We let say them words, for example, goodbye from Afghanistan or from Eastland or from Russia, any country, and so on. And we said to them, make a gesture, make a dance, make a step, which is just in the way. Get a feeling in your body, which is just in the way the sound is in yourself. And then the other children are understanding it. They are only understanding the sound. They don't understand what they're doing, because they come into the classes from the different countries and they speak any German. What should you do? You can only go out from the sound of the language, only this one. Yeah? And then we develop in this year, which we are working with them, we are developing the empathy only with the sound of the language. And the sound of the language is also always a phenomenon which is an order in time. Yeah? Bom, bom, bom. It's going on this way. Yeah? And it has a length of time, and it has a little odd, one of the poles is a little longer, the other shorter, and so on. Yeah? And we always look on it that there is no rhythm in it. Because the rhythm when once is wham, boom, boom. You have hierarchy. That's always bad for the empathy. The empathy is only working when it's working on an equal level. Because of this, we have as a second theme, after teaching empathy, we are teaching to be in the pulse controlled. That's only a term for us as a teacher. Yeah? In a pulse controlled. Yeah? It's also a term coming from the psychology. It's called impulse control. It's called. But we just, as a musician, say, in the pulse controlled. Bang, bang, bang. And if you are in the pulse controlled, you can work on it. And that's a possibility to get different nations together. And we work on it. We work with them in a hall, and they are working, they are making body percussion in this way, all this thing. Yeah? They feel the body, because the body is resonating. And the body isn't resonating in one way, this and so on. Yeah, it's resonating if all this just has no hierarchy, has only a pulse working on it. That's one of the real pedagogic systems which we are doing in the school. And now the violence has just got down. We have very, very much success, and we now wrote the first school for it, the first notation I just gave Aurelio. Because they said, we want to have an instrument. But which instrument would you now choose when you say from Russia, from and so on, you know, different countries? What's in each country? In each country is a stone. And we took this town, which was the less one. Didn't we? Don't we have any stones here?
Yeah,
Petlas. Just. Hast du jetzt? Ja, wirklich. Einfach nur zwei bin ich zwei. We said, in each culture, everywhere you are going, you find stones. And the last stone is this stone, which is just before it comes down to sand, and after sand it comes down to water. It's a development of the soil. Yeah? The rain is coming there, the stones will build in a long way. Then we have big stones, the stones are coming a little, much more little, and then at least before, thank you. Before this, we have two stones. Because we said, okay, let's play with the stones. The psychologist said to us, you're crazy, man. You can't give children who want to have violence two stones in their hands. Yeah? That will throw it. It's one little trick on it. You have to give the children cold stones. If you give them cold stones, they want to throw it away. Me too. I don't want to have a cold stone in my hand, yeah? We just, before we go to class, half an hour before, we give the stone on the oven, where's the
stove?
Stove, yeah? We heat it a little. Then they have the stone in, and they like it. At the moment, when they have warm little stones in their hand, they like it so much, yeah? And they won't throw it away, yeah? We just said, this is the sound stone. Not the sound stones as we do, but this is the sound. And this is the sound who knocks on it. And we say, if you look on your hand, we have different forms here. We have there the fingers, and here in this part here, there's a great sensitive. Absolutely one of the greatest sensitive. You know, this is the first way you can work with the fingers in this way. It's very fun. The other thing is here. Yeah? It's very different from here. And we put this sound stones there, in this, and the other one here. Now we have a resonance loop, you know? I see it. And we close it now, with the two fingers. Now we have closed, we can open it. That's the first experience we do. And we say... That changes with each tone, it's a little different. And we say, okay, we have three different sounds. We can change it in this way. Yeah? We have three dynamic rates. We make it this. We develop to say to the children, you haven't to beat on it. It's not necessary to beat. You just take your hand here, lift it up, and let it fall down. Yeah? Yeah? Not to beat, not to make it this way. That's violence. Yeah? That's you have to do there, and let it fall down. That's the main thing too. Here, hold it up. Now we have three different forms of we have pianissimo, piano, mezzo forte, and forte, and now we have noting. And now we combine all these things together. And with these two stones, we have written now a musical, the first musical elementary school, which is in the world. Yeah? And you can play it in the whole world, because in each world you find these little stones. Yeah? Yeah? And you have this combination. And you have classes, 13 pupils, and first they had beaten all the times, and the greatest guys, strong like this, coming in, they take two stones, and they like it so much, yeah? 1 hour, just going, we have a stone orchestra here, we have one with soul, and the other combining it in this way, yeah?
Okay, Klaus, we have
more. Okay. You know, I've developed the music of the stones, not only of these, but the bigger ones. I developed in the last 15, 16, 17 years, I developed it. And I got new knowledge. Some years ago I had the dream that I have to develop the music which has no heights. It's the music which is just flowing, which is just going into colors, going always in this way. And when you go back in my research, I just went back and I looked for it. What's the beginning of the world? What's going on? And you first you find, it's called, in the Christian thinking it's called, they say, at the beginning there has been the word. But which word, you don't know. And if you know, think about it, you can say, the word is the sound. The word, the meaning, is necessary. But the word is a sound, it's a sounding thing, is necessary. And if you think about this invisible, you can't see the music. You also can't see the wind. You can't see only what the wind is doing. You hear the wind. And the wind is coming on the leaves here. You can hear it. But the wind you can't see. And the music you also can't see. And I say when I played the stone, before the stone there had been the sound. There had been this thing which was always in work. It's a work in progress. It's always going on. It's not solid. Music is no solid thing. You can't buy it and take it at home. It's always working. It's always working with you in your resonance. You always have to do it. You always go into this vibrations, into this order of time, into this sound phenomenon. And when I play stone, and it's also a story in the Indian philosophy, it's a story that the gods once found out that music has the highest form of power in the world. And when they found out, each of them wanted to have this power and this force. And the music just escaped from it. Escaped in plants, in wood, in stones, and so on. And that for me, in the development of the, that's my work in life, I think, is to get this music very careful back from this escape into these elements, to find it back, to bring it together and to get into a cooperation with it, not into a concurrence. And it's for me now very difficult to play our normal classical music, because there's always a composer who thinks, there's always a conductor who is doing what the composer thought, and there's always a musician who is doing what the composer thought and what the conductor wants that he's doing it. And these are always very fine musicians who are sitting in the orchestra. But by these systems, they always get ill. We have at the moment, in a normal classical orchestra, 70% of alcoholics. Yeah? And I think this comes only from, at one reason, from the system. The system of hierarchy, where this one says how the music has to do, it is the god of the music. I always say a little ironic, he has the direct way to heaven, he hasn't it. He's only an individual who thinks he has all the rights. And if you see a real successful conductor, he always is like a dictator. It's not very far away. He says, you have to play. And if the musician says, I want to play it in a different way, he says, you can change your job. I think this system isn't very good for human beings and isn't very good for us all in the development of music. This kind of developing music, this kind of making music has begun. And you can look it in the cultural systems. You can look on it. It has begun, and why shouldn't it end? We now speak, when we speak about the development of history in music, we don't say anymore that been the Middle Age from the Notre Dame epoch and Ars Antiqua, Ars Nova, and Renaissance and Baroque music, Vienna classics, and so on, Romantic. We say a little greater from a philosopher from Switzerland, from Jacques Ebser. We say now we have an age with this, what we call the myths, an age which is the magic, the third age, it's the mental, and now in the 20th century, and now in the development to the 21st century, we say that's the integral. Integral means, in our thinking, that we have global systems of music coming from all around the world, and we find combinations of thinking from very, very different countries, and find out that it's necessary to think about what we can develop in looking in and hearing in these different forms. Yeah, I think I can continue, but I think we make here at this point we make a call. We are at the Tonika again. Thank you very much for hearing.
Thank you.
Yes. Open for questions?
Great.